Hey guys, welcome to First Post Masterclass, our brand new podcast series where elite athletes break down their craft for you. My name is Shantanu Srivastava and joining me today is India's national badminton coach, Pulela Gopichand. Gopichand, as you'd know, is only the second Indian to win the All England Badminton Championship and is now a Dronacharya awarded coach who has shaped the careers of the likes of PV Sindhu and Saina Nehwal. In this edition of First Post Masterclass, we'll discuss all about badminton. Hi, okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. Good, Shantanu. All well.
Okay. Has the training started yet?
No, we haven't.
Before I get into technicalities, there's just one question that I wanted to ask. Can you tell me something about your early years, about your childhood? Where did you grow up and what did your parents do? How were you as a kid?
A typical Andhra Telugu family.
Mm-hmm.
Father came from Nizamabad, which is in Telangana.
Mm-hmm.
And typically there was not much, as in father was started his career working in a bank.
Okay.
So the initial years, we were always getting transferred. So my first 3 years I was in Orissa, then I was in Chennai, then I was in coastal Andhra.
Okay.
And then we came to Hyderabad when I was in 10th class, 10 years old.
Okay.
So every 3 years we would keep getting transferred. So childhood was like that. It was only by chance that we landed up playing badminton, nothing which was decided or was planned.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we happened to father get a chance. We happened to be close to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we took up the sport.
Okay, Gopi, so let's talk about technique and your sport now. So how do you define it? I mean, is there a thing called technical perfection and can it be achieved at all?
I think the sport is evolving. The sport as such is very technical,
mm-hmm.
very skill-based. Having said that, if you're asking a question which means that is the skill standard over time, like a perfect cover drive to say, or perfect bowling action to say,
mm-hmm.
I would say no. It's
mm-hmm.
got the freedom to move around a lot more. It's kind of difficult to say. You will still have classic players,
mm-hmm.
but which are technically good,
mm-hmm.
but may not be effective.
Okay.
Who look good may mm-hmm. not be effective. So.
So, of course, you are into coaching now. So, I just wanted to know, what do you look for when a trainee or a kid comes to you, or when you look at somebody, you judge someone? What are a few things that you look at?
I think one would be to enjoy the work.
Mm-hmm.
To enjoy the sport, enjoy the ups and downs
mm-hmm.
of the sport would
mm-hmm.
be important.
Mm-hmm.
The body type.
Mm-hmm.
And the physicality is an important aspect of sport as well.
Okay.
And in badminton, to have quick feet
mm-hmm.
and power
mm-hmm.
is something which is important.
Okay.
So at various stages in a player's career,
mm-hmm.
to move to the next stage, you might need different
mm-hmm.
skills and attributes. At a starting point, you would need enthusiasm
mm-hmm.
and a willingness to work and
mm-hmm.
move along with people.
Mm-hmm.
The next level is where your skill comes up.
Right.
Then somewhere your physicality, as in your strength, your running
mm-hmm.
ability, which is endurance, speed,
mm-hmm.
skill, all of these come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then your emotional quotient, your mindset, how you are able to solve a problem,
mm-hmm.
how you are able to break out of a problem comes
mm-hmm.
up, and then how gritty you are,
mm-hmm.
and how you are able to continue doing the same thing over long, many years mm-hmm. without getting old, but keep pushing yourself comes up. So mm-hmm. at every stage in your career, you have different challenges. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, I'm looking for different aspects, different points of time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, let's talk about the equipment. How do you select a racket? So do you go with the feel or do you prefer a certain weight or tension in the string? What is it that makes you pick up a racket?
Personally, I just close my eyes and if the racket feels good, it's good. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've been over time seen many rackets mm-hmm. and it's good to have the latest technology because obviously there is some element of science which is gone behind. Right. But at the end of the day, when you pick the racket and close your eyes, you should feel good about it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And can you break down the stance, the starting position? How much should one bend and how should you distribute your weight on the feet?
I think years ago it would be different mm-hmm. Because the sport was played with a lot more upper side as in toss and mm-hmm. lot more back of the court.
Okay.
But as on date, when we look at world badminton, mm-hmm. defense is an important aspect. Mm-hmm. So the lower you are in the stance, it's better. Mm-hmm. But having said that, people who know when to bend down mm-hmm. and when to be up on the knee mm-hmm. is something which a matured high-level player can do. Mm-hmm. So to go down deep, mm-hmm. when the opponent is hitting mm-hmm. and the shuttle comes downward yeah. is important. And to actually be up and mm-hmm. ready to move mm-hmm. with a slight bend okay. when you think that the shuttle is going to go up mm-hmm. is important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And does the grip change when you want to add power? Or vice versa?
Of course, I think it's important that your grip is loose mm-hmm. and at a neutral point your grip is loose enough to change directions mm-hmm. to whether it's a forehand grip, a backhand grip mm-hmm. or a pen handle grip or a mm-hmm. or a smash grip, mm-hmm. whichever the need might be. Mm-hmm. But the base racket position has to be held very loose.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Gopi, can you talk about the importance of shot selection? Because here in this sport, we know there's a lot of deceptions, a lot of wrist play at work. You know, there are a number of shots that you can play from one position. So I guess it is important to know which stroke to play when. Right?
I think although we can talk about it, discuss about it, mm-hmm. I think the players will have their natural intelligence take over. Mm-hmm. And in the times of games, there is no time for you to think. The right. body decides instinctively what happens. Mm-hmm. You can have a pre-match analysis. You can do a post-match analysis. But at the moment when you're playing, there's no time for you to actually think. Mm-hmm. So it just flows, the body just flows with it. Mm-hmm. So I think from a player's perspective in practice, to actually practice different strokes, mm-hmm. specifically from the same position, you have different options, mm-hmm. is important. Mm-hmm. And in the match, over time, when the time comes, things mm-hmm. will flow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'd like to talk about smashes now, which of course are the killer shots. So when you start lining up for this stroke, what should be the body alignment be like? So do your shoulder, head and racket be in a straight sort of a diagonal line? Or I mean, how exactly should you play it, if you could break it down for me?
It would be difficult for me to explain all of it mm-hmm. verbally.
Yeah.
But I will make an effort.
Yeah.
The entire kinetic chain,
mm-hmm.
which involves the, if you're a right hander, the right foot,
right.
moving forward with a bend,
mm-hmm.
and to ensure that each power transforms into the smash
mm-hmm.
is important.
Right.
So when you are in a position to use the entire kinetic chain
mm-hmm.
to ensure that the final point of contact gets the maximum impact
mm-hmm.
is what could be important.
Okay.
So to have all of the forces aligned and in line
mm-hmm.
with the point of contact is important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you're able to give maximum power to the smash.
Mm-hmm. So when you want to, take away some power from a smash, let's say you are trying a deception or you're trying to alter the pace, slow down a smash, when do you really, use your wrist? Is it at the point of contact or before that? Could you help me understand that?
I think there will be different players who will use different techniques,
mm-hmm.
but a slight change of angle of the racket head
mm-hmm.
can reduce the speed and deceive the opponents by ensuring that the racket head is moving in another direction and
mm-hmm.
the shuttle is moving in another direction.
Okay. Is this what is called slice?
You can say that.
Mm-hmm. Right. How would you define a good defense? We see players like Okuhara and Taizu, etc., who retrieve almost everything. So, is it same as attack? You have to have a certain, certain flair, or how would you define it?
I think years ago we would have players who would be predominantly attacking
mm-hmm.
or defensive or rally players.
Right.
But in the last few years, the sport has become all-round
mm-hmm.
to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
You still have players who will have to run and retreat, but
mm-hmm.
the basic aspect of sport, that's changed over time.
Mm-hmm.
But also you have certain amounts. So today, when players play, you can say they're 60% attack, 40% defense,
right.
maybe 40-60.
Mm-hmm.
But very rarely do you find somebody who's absolutely defensive or absolutely
mm-hmm.
attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Because the nature of sport is now become that you will have to have different styles to succeed as a player.
Right.
So today's, the way conditions are, the stadiums being big, the
mm-hmm.
shuttles being slow,
mm-hmm.
I think it's fundamental to be able to run and retrieve a lot of shuttles.
Okay.
So all top players, men, women, singles, doubles,
mm-hmm.
will have to have good defense. That's
mm-hmm.
imperative.
Mm-hmm.
And more than anything, that's something which I think is fundamental.
Right. Okay.
So defense
mm-hmm.
is important.
Mm. Right. And during a rally, is it advisable to think one or two strokes ahead, or do you just react?
I think pre starting the rally,
yeah.
I think there could be certain thoughts which say that I've played two smashes here, I've got two smashes here, maybe it's time for me to go for a body smash
okay.
or think in a certain manner.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time I played him here,
mm-hmm.
he was ready, I'll have to play something else. As a soft suggestion to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But at the point when you're playing, it happens instinctively.
How important is visualization? A lot of athletes talk about visualizing how the game would go, and one of their pre-match rituals is to visualize the entire match. Do you guys do that in badminton also, and how important is it?
It is very important
mm-hmm.
For us to visualize strokes. You can actually benefit by playing it in the mind,
Right.
What you think you are going to play on the court. That is important. So from a stroke perspective, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
From an overall match perspective, if you're able to visualize something good and clear, I think it would be good. But to expect that it will happen the way it is imagined in the mind or visualized in the mind might bring in a lot of expectations during the point. So it would be prudent to visualize and forget rather than keep validating it at the point of it happening.
That's interesting.
So it is an individual journey. So it's too technical, too individual to actually prescribe anything.
Right.
But to the question, visualization helps. And it's important that you visualize and forget rather than visualize and hold.
Okay. Gopi, a lot of athletes talk about entering the zone or being in the zone during a match. This starts from, for some athletes, it begins a day before the match. For some, it begins when they start dressing up in the dressing room. How exactly would you define it? What exactly is the zone? What do you feel when you are in the zone?
When you think the mind comes in the way of your performance, when you flow, it is called the zone. And the flow would be when the mind and the brain, the thinking part is absent. There is a saying, the body knows what it has to do. And over repeated practice, the body's inner intelligence knows exactly what to do. We should not let the mind come in the way of the body. It's important that to stimulate that, it's the same as rituals which you do. If the night before we sleep in a certain time and in a certain way, we eat a certain food, we dress up in a certain manner, all of these things become automatic and the mind is not thinking. So your preparation, which helps you to make a ritual out of it, not a superstition, but a ritual just makes the mind sleep and not need to think. And that becomes automatic. And in a match, that's exactly what happens.
Right.
You will flow and not need to think.
Okay. So, Gopi, you have been a player also. So, when in your playing days, did you used to, I know, personally brood over every opponent you were supposed to play the next day, or you left it to your coach?
When we were playing for most of my career, I didn't have coaches traveling with me. And also, we didn't have the breaks in between having coaching to be done. So the interaction between the coach and the player was not as much as it is today. So for me, when I was playing, I would actually prepare for a player, but never in depth. I would actually prepare myself for the match rather than myself for the opponent.
All right. Gopi, people talk about constructing rallies a lot, both in tennis and badminton, and in fact in all racket sports. What exactly do you mean by that, and what are you looking to achieve when you construct a rally?
I think for me, I think your intelligence, when two players go on court, after a few points, one player figures out how to score points. And the challenge is to the other player to break the rhythm and have an upper hand, upper execution. And then the question is to the other opponent to find another answer.
Right.
I think for me to construct a rally would be to lure opponents to one side and hit on the other side as part of a strategy, but also to actually plan in such a way that you hold your best strokes to the end and you watch all of the strokes and ensure that at the right time you can use your best weapons. So it is a mind game and constructing the rally, constructing the match, constructing your matches is what is important.
Sounds a bit like chess, you know?
Yes, of course. It is it is very much chess at a fast movement.
Yeah.
And also, it also happens that players are not beaten once in the match, but sometimes some of these matches beat players for life. So you have to prepare in such a way. Sometimes you gain the confidence of the player so much that the next time possibly the player is good enough to beat you, but his mind doesn't think that he's capable of beating you. So when I say you plan matches, not only you construct matches, games, rallies, but the rallies are constructed not now for rallies, for matches and for careers. So the subconscious just remembers some of those. So the last time I played him here, he scored like this. Last time we were 18 all, he did this. So I think it's very important that you're alert to all of these.
Right. And Gopi, there are, I'm talking about the modern circuit now. So there are players who are exceptional with their risky deception. What is the key to sort of read them and neutralize them, and how can one bring that quality in one's game if one is not naturally very risky? How is it possible to add that dimension to your game?
I think each one of us has their own good, great qualities. And at top of the highest level, I think if we try to kind of try and copy Taiju for what she does on court, I think it would be really not not the nicest thing or not the cleverest thing to do. But if you have your strengths and if you work on your strengths, marginally getting better on each of those aspects, whether it's deception or whether it's power or speed or endurance, all of these things, over time you'll get better. So, in my opinion, when I said at the beginning that adaptability would be a key component, I think that is what I mean. Since you have an opponent who is strong deceptively, so you adapting your footwork to meet the challenges of that player, I think is what technically sound being is. He should be able to change as per the requirements of the players and conditions. And probably we might in a career have times when games and matches are shifted from playing with feather to plastic shuttles or feather to synthetic shuttle or 21 point format to a 15 or a 7 or 11. So technically sound would mean adaptability across all of these factors.
Okay. Okay. I wanted to talk about net play now. When you play at the net, what makes it such a tricky and a deceptive aspect of your court?
You have the last minute subtle changes in direction and speed possible with very little movement. And that makes it very difficult to master but also something which is so classy to see.
Mm-hmm.
So as a player, the more relaxed you are, the more aware you are,
mm-hmm.
then you will play and make the right choices of stroke.
Okay. Alright, Gopi, you had a bad knee injury in your career, but you made a successful comeback. So can you talk about that phase a bit and how important is mental aspect or mental strength in the sport?
For me, today when I look at it, it's almost 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So back then, an ACL injury, nobody before me had ever come back and played any level of badminton.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was a big jolt and a challenge to come back.
Right.
And for me, I was very fortunate that I had a doctor, I had parents who really supported me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look back today,
mm-hmm.
I think to have love for the sport was important,
mm-hmm.
but also to be patient mm-hmm. is important. A lot of the times people talk about hard work, discipline and sacrifice
mm-hmm.
in regards to
mm-hmm.
sport,
mm-hmm.
but patience
mm-hmm.
and letting go
right.
is an important aspect
mm-hmm.
because in times when you're down,
mm-hmm.
to be hardworking and disciplined
mm-hmm.
is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But just to let go and trust
mm-hmm.
and to be patient
mm-hmm.
is what is very, very important.
Okay. Right, Gopi, last question. So you have had a long career as a coach and a very successful one as a player. Which of the two do you cherish more?
I cherish my career as a player as well as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the coaching bit
mm-hmm.
a lot
mm-hmm.
For the freedom it gives,
mm-hmm.
for the time it gives. But I've enjoyed the focus as a player as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, both of them have been great careers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and any advice you would like to give to young athletes who want to take up the sport?
As a sport, it's a great sport.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the most physically literate sport.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You need to play, you need to move sideways, backwards, jump, bend, mm-hmm. all of these things. In one sport makes it a very all-round sport.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, if you think that you'll be a champion and that's the only reason to play, then it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
So the sport is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And first take one step at a time, enjoy the sport, enjoy the discipline and the hard work which come up with the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the life learnings which sport gives, and if you become a champion, it's an additional bonus, but nothing more.
Right.
So be involved, like the sport, love the sport,
mm-hmm.
and play the sport with all the involvement. Win or lose, you will be a champion.
Well, that's great. All right, Gopi, thank you so much for taking time out for this, and It was very informative talking to you, and really a pleasure talking to you.
So that was Pulela Gopichand with his insights on the technical side of the sport. Hope you enjoyed listening to it, and don't forget to tune in for the next edition of First Post Masterclass. Until then, stay safe and goodbye.